Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here with Rock Pick Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out over there on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard on the hill. For all your recording needs, you can come check them out on GaslightSTL.com. Also, get on there, book yourself a tour if you haven't been over there, and check it out. They got a lot of cool events coming up, including Leslie Sanzaro and Jeremy Siegel Moss, two friends of the show, will be over there recording on November 12th. You can come out and watch them perform in the studio and have some cold drinks and cha-cha-cha tacos next door and just have a great time. So, a full listing of events on GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and get out and get involved. Also, this week is sponsored by Music Record Shop. They got a brand new location over there on Wash Ave next to KDHX. And you can come out there on Saturday the 12th and see Crondelet Guy live in store. And also mark your calendar for the 25th. November 25th is Black Friday. It's also Record Store Day, more importantly. And come out and support your local record stores. New records in every Friday. And you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Support local business.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is John Calvin Abney, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out, I guess this is backstage, at for tonight, over at the Dead Wax Records on Cherokee, hanging out with my man, John Calvin Abney.
Hey buddy.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for finally having me. I feel like we've tried to do this so many times the past four times I've been in town.
Yeah, all right. No sweat, man. No worries. A lot of these, you know, I throw out the offer and, you know, things happen. That's what's tricky with especially with you on the road. And
of course, man.
It's always everybody wants to hang and, and everything else going on. So.
Sometimes I just want to go and take a big fat nap.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm thrilled this worked out tonight. I'm glad you agreed to hang out and talk some tunes. We are here at Dead Wax. They're getting ready to take the stage. We got Beth Bombara and Kit Harmon and
M. Lockwood Porter.
Yeah. We just met him outside. We were talking and had a nice time getting to know each other. And you guys are all. You guys in a couple shows together now here.
Yeah.
But you and M. Lockwood Porter are on the road together.
Yeah, we've done a lot of touring together. He's a real good buddy of mine. He's from Berkeley, California, but he's an Okie originally. And he's always been a great traveling companion, and he's an amazing songwriter.
Mm-hmm. I was doing a little bit of homework. I was scrolling through, reading some of your stuff on Bandcamp and your credits and stuff. But did he play on your record too? Is that right?
He played guitar on Vice Versa Suite.
Yeah.
That record I did I released in December of last year. Mostly just acoustic folk songs and piano tracks. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. You so you have a brand new full length record out. As of September.
Yeah, I do, man. I'm real proud of it. It's called Far Cries and Close Calls.
Yeah. A bunch of my favorite songs on there. I remember... I guess a little backstory. We met maybe like... I think it's probably close to 2 years or something.
Yeah,
something
absolutely.
Something like that. You came through on the road with John Moreland.
Yeah.
And we got to talking, and I picked up your record that night...
Better Luck.
Yeah, Better Luck, yeah, and another fantastic album. But we hit it off. We became buddies, started talking, and became friendly online after that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I've been a big fan of the podcast for a while now.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm trying to do my part to support all my friends.
Man, you are one of the most comprehensive one-stop shops for St. Louis shows, man. All your posts, you know, like, you know, every venue and every band that's going on every hour of every night, man. It's unbelievable. It's really important, you know. Yeah. You're doing a service.
People are digging it, and you know, it don't take me much time to for those lists and things, but yeah, people are really enjoying seeing those and where all the music's at in town. So
heck yeah, brother.
But but so anyway, like I said, we've become friendly over the year over the last 2 years or so. But I thought this would be cool to kind of hang out and get to talk a little more and get to know some of the backstory about John Calvin Abney. And you said, I know you grew up in the Tulsa area, is that right?
Yeah, I was born in Reno, Nevada, but I grew up in Tulsa and then lived there for most of my life. And I lived for almost 8 years in Norman, Oklahoma. And now I've been living in Tulsa again for about 3 years.
What, when did you kind of find this niche to or knack to start writing songs and stuff?
You know what? I was a guitar player, and you know, just really honestly, I was just this gung ho, you know, kid that loved rock and roll. But I never really wrote much. You know, I didn't write songs. I liked to write, but I really wasn't much of a tune maker. Man, I was more of just like a rowdy kid that loved to play guitar. Right. You know,
and you played you played on John Moreland's records.
Oh yeah, but I'm talking before then, right, man. I mean, it was just, yeah. It
were
was,
you telling me something? You played like some punk band stuff or something like that?
Yeah, you know, last year I released me and my friends Michael Loveland and Sean Barker. We're in a garage punk trio called Pool Boy.
Yeah.
And we released a 7-inch called Soda Kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, I played drums in that band, sing harmony.
Right on.
But, yeah, you know, guitar was more fun, you know, than anything. And I was bad at sports, and so school and guitar were fun. And I just, honest to goodness, man, it was all about bombastic performance rather than songwriting. But it wasn't until, like, my middle 20s that I started to really write songs.
Yeah, I've kind of talked about it on here, but it's like, it's... It's something kind of a bucket list, I guess, for me to write and record a song. And
do it, man.
Yeah. I just haven't really... I mean, I like writing and thing. I just don't know. I've just never been inspired yet to what to write about.
That's I think it was a Chuck Close quote, man. He said that inspiration is for amateurs.
Yeah.
Real artists go to work.
Yeah.
And that helped me... Helped a lot of comic book artists I knew too, man. And I think you should just go write a damn song,
right,
record it.
Yeah.
And just get one, dude. If I played you my very first song, you would be in tears laughing.
Man. Right.
It's called "By the Water." It was some hippy dippy flirty track about seeing yourself in a river. You know, it's like, oh my god. You know, I look back now, I'm like, what? You know, so disingenuous. Even though I put all my emotion into it, it just was. Just really wasn't reflective of what I was. I don't know, man. Life experience helps a lot.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, I think I often say the same. Like just how things have changed. You know, I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do when I was younger, like with my life and things. Totally changed, and I was like, I'll tell people still, like, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but,
yeah,
you know, life
experiences.
Me
neither, I just want to rock and roll.
Right. But life has changed a lot of that along the way, but I can imagine, you know, into your writing, obviously, I was a little bit ago, I went to see Eve Six.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
I saw them, we had this way
what
back.
What was that hit they did?
Inside Out.
That was it.
Yeah. What's a hard in a blender?
Yeah, something into beautiful oblivion. That's it.
Yeah.
I remember that tune.
They so we in St. Louis here we had the Wayback Point Fest.
Cool.
And it was like this big '90s, all a bunch of them
where they're but anyway, so the guy, lead singer of Eve 6, was up there and he was talking and he says something like, yeah, this song might sound like it's written by a 17-year-old kid, because it was. And it's like, and it's just crazy to think that, I mean, they've been playing that song now like 20 years. And
that song is paying their bills, right? You know?
Yeah. But at least you're not still having to sing that by the water.
I never really played it out very much, man. I think I stopped playing it. Oh, dude. I think I wrote that song when I was like 16 or something. Oh, 14 or 15, man. Right. You know, but yeah, man. I just have a box full of songs that are just laughable.
Yeah. You know?
I had this one about global warming when I was 17 that was just like, I don't know. I really liked like Jimi Hendrix and Incubus and stuff, so I was like trying to do all this weird crossover stuff, and
yeah,
I barely knew how to sing, and it was just a nightmare, man. But it was good because I learned a lot, you know, and it was funny, you know. A lot of people, you know, they're like, oh, I mean, I listened to the Beatles and I listened to Bob Dylan and I listened to Townes Van Zandt stuff growing up. But it was funny because I always wanted to be in a rock band, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never really gave the songwriting the time it needed as much as I gave the performance the time it needed. So I'm flying all over the stage in polyester and bell bottoms, and my hair is down to my, you know, my chest, and I'm just shredding guitar and howling like a wolf.
Right.
But none of the songs made any sense. Oh man, it's so funny to look back and think about that stuff.
Yeah. Is that something like the playing in? I mean, is that from the family, or where does all this get started for you? What do you?
Man,
you...
I am actually the only musician in my family right now that I can think of. Yeah, my dad played a little bit of guitar. And I think my uncles played like a little bit of guitar, but I'm the only one who's really, you know, done it
right
full on.
Yeah, that's cool. Kind of paving your own path.
Yeah, you know what? I love being on stage.
Yeah, man.
And so, like, that's always been a real joy. I love interacting with an audience. And I love telling stories and jokes and
mm-hmm.
making people feel comfortable, you know, in the audience. Sometimes uncomfortable, you know. It's fun. It's a blast.
Right.
But it took me a long time to realize that the songwriting is it's always a work in progress. It's not something that just comes to you. You know, like, you're not just going to sit there and practice your guitar all day and play a million shows, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, oh, I have songs.
Right.
No, man, it's a wholly different beast, and you have to approach it with caution and, you know, conversely with recklessness. You know, you have to just really focus on it, man.
Yeah. I think, unless you're Neil Young, I think, because I heard a story from him on Stern Show about, like, that he had, like, a fever real bad or some kind of thing, and he was laid up in a hospital bed and like was all like delusional and all this, and like just, but he requested a pen and paper mm-hmm. and started scribbling down his thoughts, and then I guess after that he went back to like analyze what he wrote down, and like out of that like came like all these big hits like Cinnamon Girl and all this stuff.
Whoa,
yeah, really? Like, so it was just kind of crazy, like, that he, you know, according to his story, they all these songs came to him.
But he was already a songwriter at that point.
Yeah, right.
You know?
But it's just kind of crazy to think that, like, you just never know when that, like, moment's going to hit or whatever.
You know, and I know some people that they just, inspiration slams into them and they write a ton of songs. You know, I know some people that have to sit in a quiet room for 5 days a week and write their asses off, you know? It's all different, you know?
Sure.
But to get to really grapple it, you have to just run at it as fast as you can, you know?
Right. So, yeah, so we did touch on the new record is now available.
Yeah.
And
I got it on vinyl, too, here tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to have to grab me a copy of that. So yeah, vinyl and digital and CDs also.
Yes.
And you can find all of those at johncalvinabney.bandcamp.com.
Yes,
or
johncalvinabney.com. Yeah, guaranteed.
Getting on there and pick you up a copy. So it's Far Cries and Close Calls. Where'd you come up with that title?
Man, and you're going to laugh, but it came to me after a dream. I was sick, and I woke up in the morning, and I had this thought about failure and about redefining success for myself and stuff. And I toured so much the past 2 years that I'm like, I'm kind of like tired,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And so I think, yeah, it just came to me, man.
Right.
Like that was one of those moments where I had these five words stuck in my head. It was Far Cries and Close Calls.
Yeah. And then on that, one of my favorites is the Weekly Rape Palace.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Which I think you might have played the first time I saw you.
Yeah, you recorded me playing that off Broadway.
Yeah. So it's cool that made the record now.
Yeah.
You've been playing out for a while and. But,
it's real unhinged on the record, man. It's all like thrashy and loud and rock and roll. I like it.
Sure.
It turned out good.
Yeah. And then another one. I'm going to blink on the title now. Was it Temporary?
Goodbye. Oh, Goodbye Temporarily.
Goodbye Temporarily, yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's another favorite of mine.
That's a fun one, man.
Yeah. Is that your jacket on the cover?
That is my jacket, man. Same one.
But yeah, I really dig those tunes. And you talking about maybe perhaps playing one for us today?
Yeah, I was going to play a song off the record called Way Out.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear it, man.
Cool, man. I'll play it for you. Fall put out her fire, bending it on before the ice gets bad. Had all of the memories, all of the drinking I can't stand. No ring around the moonlight, a halo in the sky. Couldn't cut down from the heavens what he told you he would buy. We weren't looking for a way out, but I was. Funny thing that happens when you play the moments of your past. The minutes like molasses, you begin to age twice as fast. No ring around your finger, no pocket full of notes, no signifying salvation. No, honey, I grab my coat. 'Cause we weren't looking for a way out, but I was, and I ain't too proud. It's a lifelong job to be blessed. But every time they crash down, they lay heavy on my chest. With every start sweet and every ending cruel, Every pill sugar and every blade dope. Are you looking for a way out? Like I was. And I ain't too proud. And if you're looking for a way out, like I was before,
excuse me. You got any stories to care to share about that one?
Well, I got good news. I'm releasing a music video. And I actually used a little bit of your footage from that one of those nights I played with my friend Chris Porter.
Yeah, I remember you asking me about that.
We used two really good little clips from that. Hardest Healing. No, Harder Stuff, excuse me, song that we played at that night at Off-Broadway. And we're releasing this on a bluegrass situation on November 9th. Music video for Way Out premieres. And, man, I wrote that song. I was thinking about the darkest stuff I could possibly imagine at the time. I was just tired and heartbroken and been drinking too much and not eating enough and not sleeping enough and just being a dummy. And you know, I had to sit down, I sat down at the piano and hammered out some chords to the song. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of folks, man, going through a whole lot of stuff, and a lot of them think the only way to really be done with that stuff is to give up. And I think we've all thought that before, but, you know, it's kind of just being like, yeah, you're not alone, you know, we're all kind of fighting the same fight, and it's good, man, to feel connected to people. It's good to feel like you can relate to someone when you're feeling that way, you know? So I wrote that song from that point of view, and, you know, it just came, man. It was one of the songs that came out real fast, about 15 minutes, and it was penned out.
Right. They start a lot on piano for you, or?
They don't. No. They don't, man. I was staying at my brother's house in Norman, Oklahoma, and his girlfriend has a piano, and I just just sat there and tried to hammer out some chords. And
yeah.
It was really fun, man. You know, it's just a, I mean, it is good therapy, and I don't really write songs for therapy, but, you know, it's good to say it when you feel that way.
Sure, man. Yeah, there's, I think I was out just recording in this room a little bit ago with Beth, and that's what, we got to talking a lot about songwriting and some of her stuff that she writes, and, like, there's something about just that, for me, that, relatability and you know, just if I can, and believability, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
totally,
like,
man.
If I can hear those words you're saying and I can connect to that, and like, and you know, whether I've been in there or in that same situation.
Or if you just thought about it, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Sure.
It's good to be like, oh, God, I'm not alone, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
As crazy as the world is, you know, it's a lot better of a place than we give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to, you know, spend time with each other and spend time doing the right thing. And spend time, you know, away from your television and, you know,
sure.
away from money and away from all that stuff. Just real things of real true substance, you know, like friends and song, you know.
So I'm pretty much like either doing the podcast or going to a show like almost every night. Like, I don't hardly ever watch TV.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's all live entertainment for me. So.
Man, and going to shows is just the best, you know. And I play shows, so when I get to see a show, it's really, really refreshing.
What's the last one you got to go see?
Oh, man, the last show I saw... Man, who did I go see? Damn, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Who was it? I went and saw... went and saw Lucero and Jason Isbell.
Oh, wow.
And Shaky Graves.
Man.
Yeah, a friend who gave me some tickets.
That's a nice bill.
Saw them in in Tulsa. And, all those guys are great, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've seen... Well, big fan, but I don't think I've seen Lucero live yet. But I did see Ben Nichols do...
Solo.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet that was great.
All right. And actually, it was with Moreland, so it was a good
night. Ben Nichols and Moreland?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
And actually, Moreland opened, and Ben Nichols did his set, which was really something special. Like, very seldom do you see it. But he sat there the whole time at the side of the stage and just watched Moreland do his thing. And just smiling the whole time. You could tell Ben, he's just a huge fan. And then, like...
Ben loves Moreland,
sure.
Man.
Yeah, and then after the show, he told Moreland to come up and gave him an encore. I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen the opener get an encore.
It's great. So, and Moreland's a hell of a guy. He's a super dude, amazing songwriter.
But, that was a great night and a lot of great songs.
But, yeah, man, I can imagine.
Yeah, that I got to see Jason kind of ride around when things started really taking off for him.
Cool.
He played a show at here in St. Louis at a place called Plush that's no longer there.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah, it was a good little room, and but he played there with his band, and Amanda joined him, and
cool.
So it was really a unique night that too, and. But yeah, that was right around when Southeastern was really gaining a lot of momentum. And
man, I remember when on that same Southeastern tour, man. For the record, Southeastern, he was supposed to play with Willie Nelson down in Bricktown in Oklahoma City, and Willie Nelson had to cancel because I think he got sick or a family member got sick or something. And so they canceled the show. But I guess his management or something called one of these other pretty big medium-sized venues in Oklahoma City, and he did a real long set, man. Just played a lot of guitar and had a show for everyone who, you know, couldn't go to the Willie Nelson and Jason Isbell show.
Yeah, I think there was something along those lines here in town where Willie was supposed to play. I think it was actually when Merle Haggard passed.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be here, like, that next night or whatever. Something along those lines, whatever. Or something along that week. And he hadn't passed yet. He was sick, and then he passed, like, the next couple days.
Yeah.
But they brought in, like, it was supposed to be Willie and Merle. And then, like, they brought in, like, Jamie Johnson and a couple other, like, I think, another big name, like, Leanne Womack or something like that. So it was kind of a Willie and Friends show, and like
it's awesome.
And so it was nice to see people stepped up to help.
Still
out.
Never seen Willie. I still really want
to
do that.
I saw him live at a country throwdown. He threw the big summer festival thing he was doing with a bunch of those guys.
In Austin?
No, it was a tour, and he played like a bunch of farms. I saw him in Columbia, Missouri, at a truck stop.
Who was he playing with?
There was Jamie Johnson, Randy Houser, Lee Bryce, Lucas Nelson, and a bunch of other Brantley Gilbert, and like all these guys were like on the way up at the time. Now they're all like huge names, but it was a great show. And then I also saw him at Farm Aid a while back.
Whoa, you went to Farm Aid?
Yeah, so I got to see him and Mellencamp and Neil Young and. Lucas Nelson is one of my favorites. That guy just is crazy to watch and just a lot of fun. And that was Farm Aid in Kansas City.
Cool, man.
So it was a good time. like some kind of soccer arena kind of thing or whatever.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. But yeah, man, live shows is where it's at, though. So I'm glad that you got to see those guys too, and you get to enjoy that even when you're not playing.
Yeah, man, going to shows is great, man. Just to see people play is a gift, you know.
Sure.
Well, it's inspiring too, you know, and it's, you know, you always learn something you didn't know before you went to a show about the songs or about yourself or about the musicians. It's cool, man, you know. Mm-hmm. Just rock and roll, man. Yeah. It'll save your soul.
Yeah. What's the Space Cowboy on your guitar?
Though? Oh, man, it's a funny nickname I had back home occasionally. A lot of people I tour with call me Space Cowboy.
Yeah.
It's funny, man.
Right.
A lot of it's just because I'm a space cadet anyway. But, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, Space Cowboy and Fun Kid.
Right.
Those were two nicknames I had a lot on the road. Real funny, ridiculous. But,
right.
Yeah, so I put it on my guitar.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, Trigger or sure. anything like that.
Yeah, man. All right, well, I guess we better wrap this thing up so we can hit the stage, man. Well,
hell yeah, so, man. I cannot thank you enough for having me, man.
I really, truly an honor. I appreciate you coming through and hanging out and doing this, even though you feeling a little under the weather earlier.
Oh, man, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Little slight migraine coming on, but you know what? That ain't going to stop this freight train.
Yeah. So pick up John's record, available now. You can pick it up on vinyl, on CD, or digital.
Yep.
At johncalvinabney.bandcamp.com or johncalvinabney.com.
You got it.
Grab it. You want to throw a track on too, or?
Yeah, you guys, why don't you play Goodbye Temporarily?
Okay, you got it, man.
Cool.
Yeah, stick around for that. And follow John also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all that fun stuff. And keep up with show dates. He's coming to a town near you.
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of tour dates this month. And keep aware of that music video coming out on November 9th. And y'all keep listening to Shane, man. He's the best. He's doing the Lord's work.
Thanks, buddy. See you, John.
See you, bud.
Track, fell into Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.